Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I need you to participate, right? You went to all the work to come out on a Wednesday night, so we might as well participate, right? Right? Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and I'm going to trust the amazing power of God's Spirit to speak to each of your hearts in just the way that God wants to speak to your heart, including mine as well, because I need the Lord to speak to my heart as well. And I'm going to trust that God in his amazing ability and his amazing power is able to do that, because I want to talk to you tonight about the lasting message of Christmas. Not just something that happened 2,000 years ago, but how the story continues to live on today in 2011 and in 2012. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love the Christmas stories. We love the Christmas songs because they remind us of this amazing reality, God, that you loved us so much that you came as a baby in a manger in such an unobtrusive way, God. But you did it because you had such a great love for your people. And Father, you didn't just do it for that span of history and time. You did it to teach us lasting principles and things that would guide us in 2012 and 2200 should you tarry, Lord. And so, God, tonight I pray that as we open your word, that we would be empowered to leave here knowing, God, that the lasting message of Christmas is just as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start by reading a verse to you in Luke chapter 1, and then let me comment on a few things before we begin to move through this. I don't need to do an introduction to the Christmas story. All of us know the Christmas story. Whether you grew up in church or not, we all know the Christmas story. We know Jesus. We know that Jesus came. We know that he died. We know that he was born. He was born in a manger. He was born in a stable. All of us know that, whether we grew up in a Christian home or not. But there's some significant things that I want to share with you tonight about the lasting message of Christmas that I believe God wants to bring into the now. Anytime you read in Scripture something that is related to remembering, it literally means this. It means to bring the past into the present. When we take communion together, and Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," he wasn't saying, "Do this as a history lesson of something that I did 2,000 years ago." He literally means that we bring the past into the present. So when we celebrate communion together, we are present with the Lord. We are bringing the past into the present. The Christmas story is no different. One of the reasons that we all love Christmas so much is because we remember things. We remember things from our childhood, and I hope for most of us, those were good memories. Unfortunately, for some of us, not so good. But Christmas stirs up all of those emotions. Why? Because it brings something from the past, whether it was your childhood traditions or whatever it was, it brings the past into the present. The lasting message of Christmas and the things related to Joseph and Mary and those things were meant by God to bring the past into the present. And I want to share some of those thoughts with you. I want to start by reading Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Here's what Luke says. Luke is the author. We know he's a physician, so he's probably someone that painstakingly remembers details, charts things, records things. But here's what he says. "Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us." Back then, oral tradition was often the way that history was passed on. Before things were recorded, first of all, in the first five books of the Bible, things were orally passed on traditionally. So Luke is talking about here the importance and the significance of passing things on traditionally. He says this, "They used the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples." Now here's what he says about himself. "Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I have also decided to write a careful," notice he uses the word careful, "a careful account for you, most honorable Theophilus." So Luke is writing his gospel to Theophilus. so that you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. So Luke starts out the book by saying, I wanted to make sure that I did a careful synopsis of everything that happened so that I could pass it on to you. History matters, but it doesn't just matter because of what happened in the past. What does that have to do with today? What does that have to do with my life today? Let me submit this to you when it comes to the message of Christmas. And you can write this down somewhere on your outline. It's not one of your fill-ins, but let me submit this to you. The lasting message of Christmas is this. It is a template of truth, a pattern of possibilities. So when we read the Christmas story, it's not just a history lesson. It is a template of truth. What is a template? A template is something that you use. When I was a bricklayer, we used a template. If we were going to build an arch or if we were going to do something, we would build a template that would model what we were going to build. We would put it underneath and we would use that as the support of what it was that we were building. Once that thing was constructed, then the template would come out and you would have the structure there. So the lasting message of Christmas is a template of truth, a pattern of possibilities. And I want to show you tonight in the story of Mary and Joseph how that is true, how it's a template of truth and a pattern of possibilities for your life today. The things that we learn in the Christmas story, those principles we can apply in our lives today. It isn't just a 2,000-year-old history lesson. I have been recently in my truck listening to my Mario Lanza Christmas CD. Now, you may or may not know who Mario Lanza is. I grew up listening to Mario Lanza Christmas music. I have to listen to it in my truck because it drives my family crazy. It's opera music. And when I grew up, it was Italian. I didn't hear it in English for the first several years of my life. It was only in Italian. I didn't even know Christmas music was in English until I was probably 9 or 10 years old. And then all of a sudden, my mom and dad broke out the Mario Lanza Christmas music in English. I thought I was learning a whole new language. But the reason I say that is because I put that CD in my truck now because it reminds me of the wonderful memories of the past. I don't want us just to be reminded of the wonderful memories of the past, the amazing things that God did for us in the coming of Jesus. That is why we celebrate this season. Jesus is the reason for the season. Absolutely, amen. We need to say that. We need to shout it from the mountaintops. But there's something in it for us today as well, something that we can learn from the Christmas story. It's really a story about this, the impossible becoming possible. The Christmas story is a template of truth, a pattern of possibility, and it's really this. It's a story of the impossible becoming possible. That's what it is. God used human beings. God used teenagers to bring Jesus into the world. It's this amazingly impossible story that makes things possible. So let me give you point number one, and then let me just kind of unpack this for you in a very familiar way because we all know the Christmas story. Number one is this. When it comes to the Christmas story and the lasting message of Christmas, there is a voice that you must trust. Please write that down. There is a voice that you must trust. Listen to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And this first account is of the angel of the Lord coming to Joseph. And notice what it says here. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now wrap your brain around that. Imagine you're a 17-year-old girl and you're trying to explain to your fiance you became pregnant but you've never been with a man. Imagine Joseph as a young teenage man trying to explain that his wife has become pregnant and he's not been with her. It's a story, it's a template of truth, it's a pattern of possibility, it's the reality of a story of the impossible becoming possible. Before the marriage took place, she was still a virgin. She became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, Joseph, son of David. The angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." Now imagine you're hearing something like that. That has never humanly happened before. And Joseph is hearing something that is totally rocking his world. The angel of the Lord goes on to say this: the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. What did it come down to with Joseph? It came down to this: there was a voice that he had to trust. He had to trust the voice of the angel of the Lord saying to him things that did not make sense in the natural. Here's something being explained to him that is absolutely unnatural, but he had to trust that voice. The template of truth, the pattern of possibility, the lasting message of Christmas is there is a voice that you must trust. Joseph had to trust the voice of the angel of the Lord. Now notice Mary. Notice Mary in the next verse. In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary, notice this, Mary was greatly troubled at his words. How many of you think you might be troubled with something like that? If you're a man and the angel of the Lord comes to you and says something crazy like that to you, that should trouble you. You're going to hear something you've never heard before. Here's this girl who's a virgin, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord appears and says, "You're not a virgin anymore, you're pregnant." It's a template of truth, a pattern of possibilities, but it comes down to this. There must be a voice that we trust. Both Mary and Joseph had to trust the voice of the angel of the Lord. Notice what the angel continues to say. At his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Same thing to Joseph. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. How many of you think you might have asked a question or two? Do you ask questions of the Lord today? I do all the time. "How can this be?" said Mary, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God." Now, there is a voice that you must trust. Now, if you go into 2012 and I go into 2012, part of the lasting message of Christmas is we've got to trust the voice of the Lord. Mary is a young teenage girl, 14, 15. We don't know for sure. Something down on the inside of her had to trust the voice of the angel of the Lord. Something down on the inside of a young man who was pledged to be married to a virgin had to trust the voice of the angel of the Lord. Do you? Do you trust the voice of the Lord speaking to you? If God was to come in 2012 and say something to you completely beyond the natural, something you've never heard before, something that in the natural you cannot wrap your brain around, what would you do with it? What would you do with it? I mean, here's two teenagers, probably in different locations, hearing something from God that is completely beyond imagination. But it really comes down to this. There's a voice that you must trust. And I want to urge you and encourage you and challenge you that in 2012, God wants to say things to you. And you must trust the voice of the Lord. We live in a world of uncertainty. I mean, here's God preparing the earth for the greatest gift ever given to humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest gift given to humanity, and God decides that he wants to deposit it in planet Earth, on planet Earth, through two teenagers. And he wants two teenagers to carry this message. Imagine God in his creativity. We couldn't have handwritten that. You couldn't have written that in the wildest of novels. But really what it comes down to is trusting that voice. Do you trust that voice? Maybe one of the things that we need to ask, as well as do we trust that voice, is are you interruptible? Are you interruptible? I mean, their life was set in motion. Mary and Joseph were set to be married. Their families had done all the planning, all of the organizing. They were just going along for the ride. Everything was in place, and all of a sudden, their life is completely turned upside down. What if God in 2012 wants to turn your life upside down? What if he wants to rock your world in such a way that it's going to completely change everything that happened in your life? Are you interruptible? Am I interruptible? Because God wants to do great things. He didn't just want to do great things 2,000 years ago. We don't need another Savior. Praise God. We're not going to have another Savior until Jesus comes back the second time. But the lasting message of Christmas is there's this template of truth and this pattern of possibilities that says we serve a miracle-working God. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's creative, and he accomplishes his will through humanity. That will never change. That will never change. But what it comes down to is, can I be interrupted by God? This messed Joseph up. This messed Mary's life up. But somewhere they heard that voice. They heard that voice, it went down, and they said, this is of God. This is of God, and because it's of God, I will allow my life to be interrupted. Joseph was going to part ways. He was going to go his own way. He was going to divorce Mary quietly to keep shame off of the family. All of that was going to happen. God said, no, no, no. You're going to stay with her. Mary, it's okay. Joseph's going to be with you. Here's two teenagers. Imagine two teenagers trying to explain that to seasoned adults. No, we haven't been together. Yeah, right. Come on. I mean, imagine being back there and imagine two teenagers trying to explain this supernatural thing that has happened because God came and God spoke. Now, I want to submit to you that God wants to do the same thing in 2012. And he's just looking for vessels that are going to listen and trust that voice and be interruptible. You have to sign up for it, and I have to be willing to sign up for it. The lasting message of Christmas is that God wants the impossible to become possible. And I want to be a player in that. I don't want to just come to church, and I don't want to just go through the motions until Jesus comes to take me home. If he wants to work in and through my life and he wants to do something, whether it be supernatural or whether it be insignificant, I want to be the vessel that he can use. Amen? I don't care what it is, but I want to be interruptible, and I can only be interruptible if I trust his voice. There's a question on your outline, and you can fill it in now or you can fill it in later. What are the impossibilities that are controlling you today? What are the impossibilities that can control you today? In the natural, this was an impossible situation. We can't explain this to our parents. Joseph and Mary are thinking, we can't explain this to our community. We can't explain this. We can't figure it out. We can't do anything about this. But they didn't allow these things that seem so impossible to control them. Don't let that happen in your life. Don't let things that are impossible control your life, because most likely the things that you think are impossible are nothing for God. They're nothing for God. The things that we think are so impossible, how can that ever work out? How can that ever happen? God can supernaturally, instantaneously change that and turn that around. So I've got to settle in my heart that there's a voice that I'm going to trust in 2012, and it's going to be the voice of the Lord. I wrote this on my outline, and before I give you point number two, I highlighted this because I thought, wow, this is really true as I read this. The voice of the Lord in this situation came from an unfamiliar source. Think about that for a minute. The voice of the Lord came from an unfamiliar source. There was a visitation of the Lord to both Joseph and Mary. It was unfamiliar to them. They had never heard it before, but yet it was the voice of the Lord. And I thought about this. I thought, God, how might you want to, in 2012, speak to my heart or speak to the hearts of your people, you may do it in an unfamiliar way. We need to be open to that. They had never had, to our knowledge, they had never had a visitation from an angel of the Lord. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord knocks on their life and says, Joseph, Mary, I need to talk to you. It came in an unfamiliar way. Let's be open to that in 2012. Let's be open to some unfamiliar ways of God speaking. Now, I didn't say unbiblical or ungodly, but maybe unfamiliar. Maybe God has spoken to you all of your life this certain way, and that's how you've heard God, and that's how you've heard God, so you've kind of pigeonholed God, and you've kind of put him in that box, and you've thought, if God is going to speak to me, he's certainly going to do it this way, because this is the only way he's ever spoken to me. What if in 2012, God has an unfamiliar way that he wants to speak to you? Lord, I want to be open to it. I want to be open to it. So God, if you bring somebody into my life, if you want to bring a donkey into my life, he did it in the scriptures. If you want to bring a donkey to talk to me, if you want to bring an angel, if you want to do it through your people, however you want to do it, God, I just want to know that there's a voice I can trust. So when I hear the voice of the Lord, I know it's God. We know that. You who know the voice of the Lord, when the Spirit of God speaks, you know it to the core of who you are. Say amen if that's true. Okay, so why would we worry then that we are not going to hear the voice of God? I'm not going to worry going into 2012. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. God is going to speak to me. There's a voice that I can trust out there. Say, thank you, Lord. Number two, let me give you number two. So number one, there's a voice you must trust. Number two is this, there is a fear that you must conquer. There is a fear that you must conquer. Listen to Joseph here. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary to be his wife. He did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Now, in the Bible, in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, in the conversation with the angel of the Lord and Mary, Mary says this to the Lord, "How will this be," Mary asks, "since I am a virgin?" If we are going to move forward, if the impossible is going to be possible in 2012, there are fears you and I must conquer. There's fears that we have to get past. There's things that we have to get past in our lives, and there are fears that we have to conquer. There were so many fears in the natural for them. How am I going to tell my mom this? How am I going to tell my dad? How am I going to tell my family members? How can I explain this? There's fears that you must conquer. Joseph and Mary had to get to the place where in boldness and confidence, they were able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." If you can't figure it out in the natural, I'm sorry, but thus saith the Lord. And God was doing this thing. Some of the fears that have to be conquered in your life and in my life in 2012, some of them are supernatural fears. Some of those are things that we might not see in the natural, but it's time to move past those. It's time to take those limitations off and say, I am not going to be paralyzed by my past. I'm not going to be tangled up in the lies and the deception of the enemy, and I am going to be moving forward in 2012. In order for them to do it, Mary and Joseph, in this amazing story of Jesus, they had to conquer their fears. What are the fears that you and I have to conquer? I think sometimes what happens in our lives is this. If we're going to conquer the fears that we battle that maybe nobody else knows about, it's going to bring us to this. It's going to bring us to a crisis of belief. Crisis of belief is a good thing in the life of a believer. A crisis of belief brings us to the place in our lives where we do battle with the possible versus the impossible. That is a crisis of belief. In the natural, they couldn't figure this out, but there was this crisis of belief. Do I trust the voice of the Lord? Do I conquer my fears, or do I just fall back into the old ways of thinking? And there's this having to learn to overcome in our lives crisis of belief, not avoid it. We can't avoid a crisis of belief as believers because we walk with a supernatural God living on the inside of us. Amen? We live with a supernatural God living on the inside of us. So much of life and much of what we come in contact with is supernatural in nature. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, so I have supernatural God living inside of me, so I have supernatural power. Amen? That is true. So I have to overcome this crisis of belief that says I'm tethered to the past, I'm tethered to the old way of thinking, I'm tethered to man-made views, opinions, and ideas, and God is bigger than those things. God is bigger, but you must conquer the fear. If this template of truth and this pattern of possibility is going to be a reality in your life, first there's a voice you must trust, and then there's a fear you must conquer. And what are those fears? I don't know. What are the fears that you have to conquer in 2012? What are the things that you have to have come face to face with? You have to have a crisis of belief, and you have to be able to say, you know what, I've thought this way all of my life, but I'm done thinking that way because it's time for me to live like I'm a supernatural child of the Most High God. And live and walk in that authority that God has given me. Teenagers were doing that. That's what's so amazing about the story of Mary and Joseph and the lasting message of Christmas. God did it through teenagers. Why? Because he wanted to prove to humanity, not just then, but today, that God can do anything he wants through a vessel that is submitted to him. He can do anything he wants. He can do anything he wants through a vessel that is submitted to him. So I want to be one of those vessels. And I want to encourage you in 2012 to take off the limitations and to strip away the fears. Trust the voice of the Lord. Trust that he's going to speak to you. Strip off the fears and throw them away. The next question on your outline is this. In what areas of your life are you limiting God? In what areas have you limited God? There's not a whole lot of debate or there's not a whole lot of arguing in the scriptures when this visitation of the angel of the Lord came. How can it be, Lord? I'm a virgin. I'll take care of it, Mary. Okay. Joseph, don't worry about divorcing her. I've got it all under control. Okay. There wasn't a lot of this arguing and debating and limiting by human possibilities. And sometime in my life, I've got to get to the place where I quit arguing with the supernatural God that I serve. And I have to walk and live like I believe the supernatural God that I serve. And one of the ways that I can do that is by being honest about the limitations that I'm putting on God in my life. Where am I limiting God in my life? And if I'm limiting God in my life, I want to do something about that. That's the next question. What steps are we going to take to change that? I want to encourage you to make sure that you've got something on your notes. Make sure you've either got something on your notes tonight or something tomorrow on your notes about, are you limiting God? Because if you are, then there's a fear that you have to conquer. I'm not going to be tethered by this fear any longer. I'm trusting the voice of God. I'm going to overcome this crisis of belief, and I'm going to conquer this fear once and for all. How many of you are with me on that? I don't want to be tethered by any fears in 2012. Let me give you point number three. Point number three is this. There are promises you must believe. There's promises that you have to believe. So there's a voice to trust. There's a fear to conquer. But there's promises you have to believe. Now, in this situation, the promises that Mary and Joseph had to believe were several months in coming. They were several months in coming before Mary actually gave birth to Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, there's promises that you have to believe. There's promises that I have to believe, and there's things that I have to hold on to that I know that I know that I know that God has spoken to me. Here's what Luke chapter 1, verse 38 says. Mary said, these are the words of Mary, I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to do whatever he wants. Think about that. Think about all the controversy that was surrounding her, all the names that she must have been called, all of the labels that were slapped on her as a young teenage girl, and here's what she says. I am willing to do whatever he wants. May everything you said, talking about the angel of the Lord, may everything you said come true. So she's affirming everything that the voice of the Lord said. May everything you said come true. And then the angel disappeared. So what was Mary left? Promises that she had to believe. That's what Mary was left with. Mary, this is going to happen. The angel of the Lord is going to come on you. You are going to carry the Christ child. He is going to be the Savior of the world. What did she have to do with that? She had to believe the promise. You have to do the same thing. It's not enough just to trust the voice of the Lord. It's not enough just to conquer the fears. You've got to have promises that you're believing for. Mary and Joseph had promises, and they were holding on to these promises. I wrote this down on my outline. It's not on yours. I do this often on Wednesdays. I'm thinking about my notes, and I'm meditating on things. And so I have a few things that I'm going to give to you to write down that are not on your notes. Say thank you. You're welcome. So they're all free. You don't have to even pay for them. So here's what I wrote down after this scripture in Luke chapter 1. Mary was alive with the revelation of God. See, when you have promises that you're holding on to, you're alive with the revelation of God. That's what happens. When you have promises that you're believing, things that you know that God has spoken to you, what that means is that you're alive with the revelation of God, but it also means this, that you're pregnant with the promise of God. And I want to submit that to you today, and I'm not trying to change anything about anatomy, physiology. I'm not trying to change any of that, but I want to submit to you that God wants every one of you, whether you're a man or a woman, to be pregnant with His promises going into 2012. He wants you to be. He wants to conceive the promises of God inside of you so that that revelation is alive in you and that you're pregnant with His promises. And you're carrying those promises. There's promises that you have to believe. And even though they haven't come to pass yet, it doesn't mean that they're not going to come to pass. It means it's very important that that promise be carried to full term. Isn't that true? Just like it's important that a child be carried to full term, so it is with the promises of God. They must be carried to term, and then they're birthed. And it's no different today. This story, the lasting message of Christmas, is a template of truth and a pattern of possibilities. Notice on your outline, Psalm chapter 78, verse 40. I want to read this to you from the Living Bible, and here's what it says. Speaking about the children of Israel, "Oh, how often they rebelled against Him in those desert years, and they grieved His heart. Again and again they turned away and tempted God to kill them." Now notice this. "And limited the Holy One of Israel from giving them His blessings." The Bible says in Psalm 78 that the people of God limited God from giving His blessings. In other words, He wanted to pour out His blessings on them, but they limited God. Why? Because they wouldn't believe His promises. God said, "I'm going to deliver you from Egypt, and I'm going to take you into your promised land." Along the way, they saw things that they didn't like. So because of that, they began to limit God. Don't limit God in 2012. Don't limit God. There is a voice that you can trust. There's a fear that you have to conquer. And then there's promises that you have to believe. And if you'll believe those promises and if you'll hold on to those promises, there's some things that are going to happen. I want to close by giving you, and these are some of the things that are not on your outline. I want to close by giving you four realities from this story. Four realities from this story that I think are to bring the past into the present. The first one is this. God wants to conceive in you His promises. God wants to conceive in you promises. In other words, just as the angel of the Lord came and visited Mary and spoke life into her, and Jesus is in her womb, God wants to come and He wants to conceive promises on the inside of you. Do you believe that? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I'm not talking about changing anatomy. I'm talking about a supernatural God who takes the impossible and makes it possible if we'll believe Him. So God wants to conceive His promises in you. The second one is this, and I just mentioned it. You must allow them to grow in you. See, the promises of God, sometimes we get frustrated with God because God will speak a promise to us and we think that means it should be now. But the truth is, just like a child that is carried in the womb of its mother, that child must be carried to term before it can be birthed. And so it is with the promises of God. The promises of God have to grow in us until they come to full term. Until they come to full term. The next thing is this. God wants to deliver His promises through you. The amazing thing about the story of Christmas, Jesus, the Savior of the world, was delivered through a virgin girl. God delivered the greatest gift to humanity through a virgin girl, through a teenage girl. We've already been given the gift of Jesus, but God wants us to be the gift to the world. God wants us to deliver the gift of Jesus to the world. Isn't that true? We all know this. We are the only Jesus that some people will ever see. We come face to face with people, we introduce them to Jesus, and then we get out of the way. So God wants to deliver His promises through you. It's painful sometimes. I can't talk from experience because I've never carried a child, but ladies, you know, that have carried children, it can be painful sometimes. And the truth is, sometimes when we carry the promises of God, it's painful because we're saying to God, why hasn't it come to pass, God? Why? You spoke it to me. Why? A month, 6 months, a year, 6 years. God is in control of the developing of that promise. My responsibility is to protect that promise that I'm carrying until God says, now it is time for that to be delivered. In 2012, you and I will give birth to that which we've carried. That is a fact. In 2012, you and I will give birth to what we've carried. I don't want to give birth to bitterness. I don't want to give birth to unforgiveness. I don't want to give birth to fear or criticism or a judgmental heart or a judgmental attitude. I want the promises of God to be conceived on the inside of me, and I want those things birthed. I want life. I want the fruit of the Spirit produced in my life. If we bring the past into the present and we tell people about the Savior Jesus and that Jesus came and He gave His life, He was born. He was born in a manger. He lived this sinless, spotless life, and then He gave His life a ransom for many. What we do then is we bring that from the past into the present and we make it real for people in 2012. We weren't there 2,000 years ago, but it's real to us, is it not? The Christmas story, the life of Jesus, who Jesus is, all that we're celebrating, our Christmas services, our Christmas celebrations with family and friends, it brings it home every single year. God wants promises brought home every single year. And then finally this, here's God's desire. Those promises that are delivered through you are intended to be a blessing to those around you. When Jesus was born, He became the greatest gift to humanity. He became the greatest gift to humanity, and He's been given to the world to be shared. The things that God conceives on the inside of you, He wants those birthed so that you can share the life of Jesus and the love of Jesus with the lost and a dying world. And so we have to come face to face with this fact. Jesus came as a child in a manger. But it didn't stop there. It didn't stop with Him dying on the cross. The message of the gospel continues today, and it continues through the life of believers that will allow the impossible to become possible when we allow God to plant things on the inside of us and then in His time deliver those things. I am sure that there were many times in the life of Joseph and in the life of Mary when they were misunderstood. There are times when you as a believer have been misunderstood, sometimes misunderstood by the people closest to you. The people closest to you, family and friends, they call you names like fanatic or kook or they label you or they've judged you. I'm sure that the criticism was harsh. I'm sure it was painful for Mary and Joseph. And the reality of it is, it's the same today. Those things that they experienced, we experience those things too. But what are we going to do? We have to choose whether or not we're going to be like Mary and Joseph and trust the voice of God when He speaks. We're going to conquer the fears that come to try to sabotage the promises of God all along the way, and then we're going to cling to the promises of God all the days of our life. God, I'm going to cling to these promises. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not a God that you should lie. You don't change. And God, I'm going to believe You all the days of my life. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand tonight, and Mike's out, and just going to play some background music and maybe a song, if you guys have a song. I'm not sure exactly what you're prepared for, but I think sometimes what is important to do after we hear a message is, and we call it on staff, sometimes we use this term, marinating. You know, sometimes the things of God, they have to just marinate a little bit in our spirits. It's only 7:30. Only 7:30. Let's just take a minute and, Mike, you got a song? Or you playing some background music, whatever you're doing. Let's just, I don't see a mic up there, so he's got some background music. Let's just take a couple minutes and just think about where you're at. Think about whether or not you're feeling a little bit like Joseph, or maybe a little bit like Mary. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe life is not going the way that you've wanted it to go, and maybe somehow you're thinking that God has forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about you. God has an amazing plan for you. And 2011 has nothing to do with 2012. God can do whatever he wants to do in 2012. So I want you to think for just a minute before I close in prayer. Are you struggling with the voice to trust? Have you had a hard time in 2011 trusting the voice of the Lord? Because it's not that God has been silent. It's a matter of whether or not I've really trusted what God has wanted to say to me. And if you've had a hard time with that, just lay it down. Just lay it down and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I believe that the impossible can be.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.